You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, today I will begin delivering to you a public notice. This public notice will be construed to comply with provisions necessary to establish presumed fact under the federal rules of civil procedure and attending state rules. Should interested parties fail to rebut any given allegation or matter of law addressed herein, and the position will be construed as adequate to meet requirements of judicial notice, thus preserving fundamental law. Matters addressed herein, if not rebutted, will be construed to have general application. This public notice includes all information, which will be found by following the links from our webpage, http://harvest-trust.org/TARGETED.htm. That's harvest-trust.org/targeted.htm. And by following the links found on any page that is linked from that page. A true and correct copy of this public notice is on file with and available for inspection at the office of Veritas National Newspaper and at the office of Harvest Trust. This public notice addresses federal jurisdiction, federal authority, jurisdiction and authority of federal agents, the constitutionality and lawful character of the income tax and the Internal Revenue Service and other agencies of the United States government, including but not limited to the Department of the Treasury and legal application of the Internal Revenue Code. Don't go away, folks. I'll be right back, right after this short pause.
Yeah.
Yes, folks, everybody knows. You all know it. You all know something is terribly wrong in this country, but you don't know exactly what it is. You can't put your finger on it. And everybody's telling you lies. And when you think you have the answer, and you think that you can fix it, you find out that that wasn't it after all. Well, I know what it is. I've always known what it is. And it appears that we, that's me and my wife, William and Annie Cooper, have been targeted for imprisonment or extermination by the federal government and the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith for documenting and sourcing the truth about the tyranny and despotism of the Illuminati's coming socialist totalitarian New World Order. We've worked feverishly since 1988 documenting and sourcing the facts of the treason that is being brought about by the Illuminati socialist change agents in government and through the activities of secret societies and organizations such as the Subversive Anti-Defamation League. But, ladies and gentlemen, they picked on the wrong people. We are not criminals. Everything we have ever done has been in good faith and with reasonable cause under the law. We are not afraid. We will not run and hide. We will continue to oppose evil whenever and wherever we find it. And, if necessary, we will stand and fight whomever or whatever assault they may mount against us. I first learned of this treason taking place in this country and around the world when I discovered the plan named Majesty 12 while a member of the intelligence briefing team and petty officer of the watch in the command center of Admiral Bernard Clary, who at that time, ladies and gentlemen, was the commander-in-chief of the United States Pacific Fleet. The plan outlined the implementation of all of the planks of the Communist Manifesto, which began with the graduated so-called income tax administered by the fiction known as the Internal Revenue Service, the disarmament of the American people through laws instigated by a series of terrorist acts, the formation of a world police force made up of the United Nations force known as NATO, combined with the military forces of the United States and the members of the United Nations force which used to be known as the Warsaw Pact, which plan is outlined in State Department Publication 7277, and can be found as the headline story in issue number 16 of our national newspaper, Veritas. It documented the intent to demonize and target patriots and so-called tax protesters through Project Trojan Horse and much, much more. We have been documenting and sourcing the facts of this plan since 1988 through my book, Behold a Pale Horse, my radio broadcast, which you are listening to at this moment, the hour of the time, in our full-size national newspaper, Veritas, in the book, Oklahoma City Day One, and in lectures and speaking engagements throughout the nation and the world. I have made over 150 predictions of coming major world events since 1988 based upon the information that I saw in that plan, supplemented by many years of research, and I have only been wrong one time. The Illuminati Socialist President of the United States of America, William Jefferson Clinton, wrote in a White House memo that, quote, William Cooper is the most dangerous radio host in America, end quote. The Illuminati's Rush Limbaugh read the memo on his so-called Excellence in Broadcasting Network in 1995 following the bombing of the Alfred P. Mira Federal Building in Oklahoma City in an cowardly effort to redirect the socialist attack on so-called right-wing radio hosts away from himself and on to me while continuing to tout himself as the most dangerous radio host in America. I don't know how he could do it after having read the president's memo on the air. My FBI record, my Federal Bureau of Investigation record, which was initiated by the investigation required by my secret security clearance while in the United States Air Force, and my top secret QSI security clearance while in the United States Navy, was one of those found in possession of the White House during the scandal known as Filegate. President Clinton ordered that all agencies of government begin an investigation naming us, that's me and my wife, enemies of the administration and domestic terrorists. Since when, ladies and gentlemen, is telling the truth terrorism in this country? Because that's all we've ever been guilty of. After 14 issues of Veritas, which exposed, documented, and sourced the facts of the treason and the fraud of the so-called income tax administered by the so-called Internal Revenue Service, a series of 8 broadcasts exposing the Anti-Defamation League as a criminal and subversive organization, and our publication of the scathing expose entitled Oklahoma City Day One by Michelle Marie Moore, the governments and the ADL ordered their puppets to go after us with the intent of shutting us up for good. United States Attorney Janet Reno, the Butcher of Waco, that's United States Attorney General Janet Reno, the Butcher of Waco, ordered the Nazi Gestapo to go after us, which immediately launched investigations by the FBI, the Internal Revenue Service, the Financial Crimes Network, and many others. Reno also ordered her Phoenix-based puppet, United States Attorney Janet Napolitano, to shut us up. Our investigation demonstrates that Janet Reno, Phoenix-based United States Attorney Janet Napolitano, Assistant United States Attorney Weinrip, and Special Agent Frank Shupnik, and possibly Judge Irwin of the United States District Court are members of the Anti-Defamation League. Shupnik, never can say that right, Shupnik and Weinrip have been the most persistent and subversive of the law in their relentless persecution of this family. Since my honorable discharge from the United States Navy in December of 1975, I have engaged myself in research to discover if the information regarding the federal income tax that I had seen in Majesty 12 could be documented. Ladies and gentlemen, of all the subjects that I have ever researched over the years, the unconstitutionality and unlawful application of the federal income tax by the bogus and unconstitutional Internal Revenue Service to the people domiciled within the territorial boundaries of the Union States outside of the constitutional and lawful jurisdiction and authority of the United States government turned out to be the easiest to document and source. And when the government began its investigation, read persecution of this family, we were noticed by Special Agent Frank Shupnik, no summons, to present ourselves and all our financial records at a meeting to be held between him and us in Phoenix, Arizona. We refused. And if you go to our website and see the link to compulsory production of documents, you'll see that we never were required to produce those documents or to show up anyway. That brief explains the operation of the Fifth Amendment in reference to producing personal books and records to an agency of the government. We then began a series of Freedom of Information requests, known as FOIA requests, which along with our and others' legal research revealed that they had no authority whatsoever to conduct an investigation. In fact, it once again confirmed that the federal government has no authority or federal jurisdiction within the territorial boundaries of any state of the Union whatsoever, except on property purchased by the government, where jurisdiction has been ceded to the federal government by the state's legislature, and over only those specific crimes which are enumerated in the Constitution for the United States of America. On our website, we have included a complete brief of the federal jurisdiction and authority within the territorial boundaries of the Union States, and all of the case sites in state court, circuit court, and the United States Supreme Court, which prove that the federal government has no jurisdiction or authority within the territorial boundaries of the state of Arizona or any other state of the Union, except where land has been purchased by the federal government and ceded by the legislature of the state to the federal government, where the state has not retained jurisdiction over that land. There is only one exception, that is extraterritorial jurisdiction brought about by treaties with foreign nations such as the Crown of England. I'm not a citizen of any foreign government, and while my wife is a citizen of the nation of Taiwan, we are not subjects of the Crown of England or Great Britain. We are not subjects of the Queen of England or Great Britain, and we are not subject to any treaties which require either one of us to file or pay federal income tax, or be subject to the jurisdiction or authority of the United States government or any agent of the United States government. Now, if you think this is far-fetched, be forewarned that these people, subjects of the Queen, subjects of the Crown, subjects of Great Britain, are noted in the Internal Revenue Manual as being subject to the tax. My research, ladies and gentlemen, has confirmed the following. Quote, the power of the United States to tax is limited to persons, property, and business within their jurisdiction, as much as that of a state is limited to the same subjects within its jurisdiction. Supreme Court Justice Fields. And then this by the Supreme Court of New York. The Supreme Court of New York was presented with the issue of whether the state of New York had jurisdiction over a murder committed at Fort Niagara, a federal fort. In People v. Godfrey, 17 Johns, 225, 233, New York, 1819, that court held that the fort was subject to the jurisdiction of the state, since the lands, therefore, had not been ceded to the United States. Quote, to oust this state of its jurisdiction to support and maintain its laws and to punish crimes, it must be shown that an offense committed within the acknowledged limits of the state is clearly and exclusively cognizable by the laws and courts of the United States. In the case already cited, Chief Justice Marshall observed that to bring the offense within the jurisdiction of the courts of the Union, it must have been committed out of the jurisdiction of any state. It is not the offense committed, but the place in which it is committed, which must be out of the jurisdiction of the state, end quote. The Internal Revenue Service makes its own rules, constitutes unconstitutional legislative action. But the Internal Revenue Manual, Handbook 10.3.1.1, Chapter 7, under Enforcement Activities and Investigative Techniques, admits that no agent of the United States government has any authority or jurisdiction to serve a summons or arrest warrant anywhere other than, quote, within the jurisdiction of the United States, end quote. I have that cited on our website, and it says, quote, the arrest warrant can be executed and the summons served at any place within the jurisdiction of the United States, end quote. Years ago, ladies and gentlemen, I discovered that the Internal Revenue Service is not, I repeat, is not an agency of the Department of the Treasury or the federal government. It is not listed as required by law in the United States Code under the organization of the Department of the Treasury, nor is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, or the Secret Service. Nor are any of these bogus agencies listed in the United States Code as agencies of any other branch of government. These agencies are, in fact, fictions. And then I discovered the reason why. The United States Supreme Court in Brueschaber versus Union Pacific Railroad Company, while ruling that the income tax is an excise or indirect tax, included as a part of its ruling that the federal income tax is void because Congress unconstitutionally delegated legislative power to the Secretary of the Treasury to write the law concerning the administrative and enforcement procedures. It was a blatant and unconstitutional breach of the separation of powers, and in any case, the Constitution does not ever grant Congress the ability to delegate its powers to anyone or anything or any entity. The Internal Revenue Service, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the Secret Service, and all of their administrative rules, regulations, and enforcement powers were created unconstitutionally by the stroke of a pen of a Department of the Treasury employee. That is why there is so much subterfuge and so many lies involved in the administration and enforcement of the tax by the so-called Internal Revenue Service. In Brueschaber v. Union Pacific Railroad Company, the United States Supreme Court ruled that the income tax is an excise tax, ladies and gentlemen, which is an indirect tax, not based upon capitation or income, but upon specific excisable activities that an individual must be engaged in order to be taxed. The uncertainty of the law. American courts have failed to identify what is the nature of the income tax except for the ruling in Brueschaber v. Union Pacific Railroad Company. This uncertainty of the constitutional classification of this form of taxation presents a monumental due process problem for the American people. Members of Congress should be informed of this uncertainty of the law, which they did not create. And if Congress is uncertain, and if the courts and federal judges are uncertain, how are the people of the United States of America supposed to know what it's all about? On January 8, 1991, the United States Supreme Court ruled that Americans who refuse to pay their income taxes because they sincerely believe that the tax law is unconstitutional could not be convicted of willful tax evasion. According to Justice Byron White, quote, someone's good faith belief that a federal tax on his or her wages is unlawful would not make that person guilty of a crime requiring willful action, no matter how unreasonable that person's belief, end quote. American Legacy Resources wrote one of their best explanations of what the income tax is and what it is not. If you go to our webpage and visit their tax supplement, you'll find a mind-expanding experience. Another extremely educational site is called Taxgate. Once you begin to understand how badly, ladies and gentlemen, you have been defrauded, cheated, and extorted, and I mean, yes, extorted, because most of you do it out of fear and for no other reason, then you will never, ever be able to return to sheepledom. We published several stories revealing the results of our research into the history of and the law concerning the Internal Revenue Service. We also published a lawful public notice in issues number 14, 15, and 16 of Veritas National Newspaper, which enumerated certain facts discovered in Dan Meadors and my research. The law allows us to presume the content of the public notice to be presumed facts, since neither the Internal Revenue Service or the United States government has ever denied any of the facts thus presented. In light of the above, ladies and gentlemen, we filed federal FOIA requests asking the Internal Revenue Service for specific documents which specifically required us to file and pay the so-called income tax. They could not and did not produce any such documentation, but sent me a copy of an old 1040 which I had filed before I had mustered the guts to stop filing based upon the information I had seen in Majesty 12 and from my research which verified that the tax is a criminal fraud. The implication was that the 1040s which I had filed in the past was their only authority. In other words, I had signed the form stating that I was a taxpayer. The interpretation of the Internal Revenue Service was that since I had filed previously, it was an admission that I was required to file. They have no other documentation, they have no other authority whatsoever, and cannot produce anything in the law which requires us to file a 1040 or to file and pay the federal income tax. Hitler, ladies and gentlemen, Adolf Hitler would have loved their reasoning. Unfortunately for them, the law in this country allows you to correct a mistake if you have made one. And if you discover that you have been coaxed into a contract through fraud, the contract is null and void upon the discovery of that fraud. We also filed FOIA requests asking the Internal Revenue Service for specific documents which gave the IRS the authority to conduct an investigation of a citizen of Arizona. The Internal Revenue Service could not and did not produce any such documentation. We noticed Special Agent Shupnik and Assistant U.S. Attorney Weinrip to produce their credentials and documentation of their authority to conduct such an investigation. They refused because they could not, as no such documents exist. We learned of a secret agreement, ladies and gentlemen, between the individual states of the Union and the Internal Revenue Service. We obtained an unredacted copy and found that it is an agreement granting jurisdiction to the Internal Revenue Service to require federal employees who are state citizens and residents of the state to file and pay the so-called federal income tax. No cession of jurisdiction over these people was granted by the state legislatures as required by law. If the so-called Internal Revenue Service has the jurisdiction and authority to require citizens and residents of the states to file and pay the so-called income tax, Why do they have to have a special secret agreement between the Internal Revenue Service and the states to tax their own federal employees who live and work outside the jurisdiction and authority of the United States government? Can you tell me that, Mr. Sheeple? We filed suit against the United States government, the Internal Revenue Service, Attorney General Janet Reno, the United States Attorney for the District of Arizona, Janet Napolitano, and others, demanding the court simply order the defendants to either produce the documentation that allows the Internal Revenue Service to tax and or investigate a citizen of any state of the union, or admit that no such documentation exists, and several other points of law. The suit has been active for almost 3 years, and the federal judge has refused to order the defendants to obey the law and produce their authority or admit that it does not exist. The attorney for defendants, Katz, another ADL member, has slipped up and admitted in documents that he or she filed in this case that no such documentation, thus no such authority, exists in the Phoenix District. This suit is still awaiting adjudication in United States District Court in Phoenix, Arizona. The government and the Anti-Defamation League wants us in prison or dead before the judge is forced to rule in our favor, as he must if he obeys the law. Recent experience tells us that the courts have been corrupted and the law is frequently ignored. Pro se litigants are all but ignored by federal judges who pass the cases to clerks to handle. A pro se litigant, ladies and gentlemen, is somebody like me who knows and understands the law, who refuses to hire an officer of the court called an attorney to represent me. We have not committed any crime. Listen to me carefully. We have not committed any crime, but on June 18, 1998, a United States Marshal came to the Trust headquarters in Eager, Arizona to serve a summons for criminal trial in United States District Court in Phoenix, Arizona on, as named, legal fictions. Since the summons were to be served in a fictional jurisdiction, it could only be served on fictional people. We told him that we are not the legal fictions named in the summons and ordered him off the trust property. I told him he was trespassing and that he had no federal jurisdiction or authority within the territorial boundaries of the state of Arizona. He knew that I was correct and obeyed me without serving the papers. If he had authority and or jurisdiction, why did he not serve them? Why did he obey my order that he get off the property immediately, and why did he leave? Well, it's a very simple fact, folks. In the law, he has no jurisdiction or authority. We have documented that. We have turned all the documentation and legal case sites over to Sheriff Art Lee. Since no legal fictions can be found at our trust headquarters and domicile, and since no service was made, the court can take no action if the court obeys the law. As we discovered with Waco, Ruby Ridge, and other federal atrocities, the federal courts seldom, if ever, obey the law. The marshal told me that if the legal fictions named in the summons did not appear in federal court in Phoenix, Arizona on July 1, 1998, a warrant would be issued for our arrest. Well, if they do, we will not appear, as we are not the legal fictions named in the summons. The court has no jurisdiction or authority over us as citizens of this state, and we will not allow an unconstitutional arrest to occur. We will, if necessary, stand and fight their Gestapo with all the means at our disposal, any assault which may be mounted upon our property or upon us. Now, I want you to understand this next paragraph very clearly. Our children will remain with us. We are a family. They are not shields and will not be used as shields. We will protect them as best we can. Our enemies will claim, however, that we are using them as shields. That is not true. Any more than children have been shields for families which have been attacked by despotism throughout history. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we love our children. We love ourselves as a family. Allowing our children to disappear into the immoral and destructive government child care and foster home industry run by the mind-controlling bogus psychology profession, only to be abused and sexually assaulted for many years, is a fate worse than death, and we simply will not allow such a thing to happen to our precious little girls.
If they come to take your children away from your family, you do whatever you think is right. But if anybody puts one hand on either or both of our children with the intent to take them from us, I will kill those people on the spot. With no guilty conscience, with no guilty conscience, and with no hesitation. These people are morally bankrupt, and in fact are Nazi jackbooted thugs of the worst SS Hitler stormtrooper type. They have no ethics, morals, or respect for life, property, religion, or the law. The Nazis, ladies and gentlemen, were socialists, and socialists are Nazis. Socialists are in complete control of the government of the United States of America today, and whatever Hitler did in Nazi Germany, you are going to see repeated in this country, only it's going to be a lot more and a lot worse. Remember, one of the goals of the New World Order is the complete and total destruction of Christianity, Orthodox Judaism, and fundamentalist Islamic religions. Now please remember that we are not anti-government. We are not anti-government. We are not radicals. We are not extremists. We are not fundamentalists. We're not crazy. We're not suicidal. We're not criminals. We're not child molesters. We're not bank robbers. We're not child abusers. We are not tax protesters. We are not wife beaters, husband beaters, drug users, drug dealers, drug growers, drug stockpilers. We are not revolutionaries. We are not subversives. We are not terrorists. We are not white supremacists. We are not racists. We are not anti-Semitic or any other demonizing label that may be applied. We do not have illegal weapons. We do not have hand grenades. We do not have bombs. We do not have missiles, tanks, machine guns, anti-tank rockets, anti-aircraft weapons, or any other demonized instrument of any type whatsoever, and our trust headquarters and domicile is not a compound. Is not a compound. However, we are forming lawfully under the Constitution for the United States of America, the United States Code, the Constitution for the State of Arizona, and the laws and statutes of the State of Arizona as a lawfully constituted unorganized militia, and as such, should such weapons come into our hands, and should we have to protect ourselves, we will use them without hesitation. We are intelligent, law-abiding, reasonable people who have simply drawn our line in the sand as responsible citizens of the United States of America. Most of you haven't got the guts to stand up and draw a line and fight for your principles and ideals and beliefs. You're afraid you're going to lose your miserable little paycheck or something else that you think is more valuable than your freedom. Well, I've got news for you. If you're not ready and willing to die for freedom, for your principles and ideals, you cannot have freedom. You cannot have principles and ideals. And as soon as those things that you value more than freedom are threatened, you will be enslaved. Now, our enemies will attempt to demonize us in order to obtain the public's, that's your permission to murder our whole family, just as they did the Weaver family and the Branch Davidians at Waco, Texas. And don't shake your head and say you'd never do that. You've already done it. You already did it. I never thought I would hear so-called Christians and others who say that they are good people, whether they're Christian or not, whose ancestors mostly fled the old world to escape religious persecution, say, quote, "The Branch Davidians deserved what they got. They were just a bunch of religious fanatics," end quote. But I heard it from all of you over and over again, and many of you are still saying it, and you haven't got the slightest idea what it is that you're talking about. You take freedom away from one person in this country, you have taken it away from yourself and all others. One of the major laws of the universe is that if you're not willing to die to be free, you cannot and will never, ever be free. If there is a war, ladies and gentlemen, the United States government has declared war on its own citizens. Anytime they subvert the law and leave their proper and lawful jurisdiction in order to take away, imprison, or destroy the citizens within the several states, they are waging war. If we are found dead, it will never, ever be because we committed suicide. It will be cold-blooded murder, just as they did at Ruby Ridge, the World Trade Center, Waco, and Oklahoma City. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand something and understand it very clearly. We are pro-government. Pro-government. Lawful government. Lawful constitutional Republican government as guaranteed to us in the Constitution for the United States of America. And yes, there is a clause in the Constitution that guarantees to every state and every citizen a constitutional Republican form of government. And every time you hear these scum-sucking, puke-faced, subversive, Nazi jackbooted thugs call this nation a democracy, it is a part of the subversion of your minds. Karl Marx and V.I. Lenin said that democracy is indispensable to socialism. They said that peace is defined as the elimination of all opposition to socialism. We know what the government is and what the government is not. We know that the Constitution for the United States of America constitutes the lawful government, and anything or anyone outside its strictures, limits, and powers is operating unlawfully and are, in fact, outlaws. You see, we know, we understand 100% that the Constitution was not penned by a bunch of lunatic, doddering old men over 100 years ago who did not understand the complexities of the modern age. What bunk! The Constitution was produced by the greatest collection of minds, geniuses, if you will, who have ever lived and who have ever banded together in one place. It is the living supreme law of our country. It provides within the document itself the provisions for us to make any changes that we may deem necessary. and only a very few changes known as amendments have ever been made. Those changes or deletions wished for by the socialist communist Illuminati have been rejected by the American people, and because of that, they must demonize the Constitution and any and all people who support it. And they teach in our schools, and you hear it on television, and in the news, and in comments of these subversive jerks who occupy offices within our government, that it's old and outdated, and the men who penned it were doddering old fools who lived over 200 years ago and didn't understand the complexities of the modern age. If the American people want to change the Constitution, they can. They know how to do it. They have resisted that change because they want to remain free people. Ladies and gentlemen, I have served my government all my life. I am still serving it as I speak now. I am serving it as I resist the encroachment of tyranny upon my family. I am serving my government. I have been a member of the United States Air Force and the United States Navy. I am a combat veteran of the Vietnam War. I fought as a river patrol boat captain in Vietnam, earning medals with a V for valor. I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution for the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Did you hear that? And everybody who's ever served in any of our armed forces have taken that same oath. Support and defend the Constitution for the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I don't know about you hypocrites and phonies and liars out there, but I intend to fulfill that oath until the day that I die and after, if that is possible, and I don't give a damn what you think of me or mine or about that. What we have included here is by no means the entirety of our legal position. In fact, it is barely the beginning. Only a few facts and questions that should get at least some of you thinking. We will attempt to include much more through links from our web pages, and if you want to keep up to date, go to those web pages, harvest-trust.org, harvest-trust.org. You don't need www. All you need is http://harvest-trust.org. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully. We hope to win this battle, although the odds in history tell us that we won't. We don't care. If we win, then all America wins. If we lose, the subversive Illuminati socialists in government and the Anti-Defamation League and the secret societies will lose big time. They will lose big time, even if they think that they win. We are not afraid. I have engaged and fought better troops than any of the techno-spoiled brats that they can or ever will field against us. In any case, whatever happens, we as a family will be free, whether we win or lose. Now, all you so-called Christians out there should understand it, but I'll bet you don't. Sit down and figure it out. And due to the sheer volume of our work that is in public hands, I can guarantee you we will never, ever be forgotten. But it makes me very sad, ladies and gentlemen, to know that all of you will still be enslaved by tyrants and despotism in a totalitarian socialist New World odor. And yes, I said odor because it really stinks. Unless you also draw your line and take your stand to fight the last battle for liberty and freedom. And oh, I almost forgot. If they need a negotiator to resolve the situation, send Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz, please. I would really love to see him coming up the hill to try and talk us down. Please, oh please, please send Greitz. And if you care at all about what's happening or about any of us, please pray for us and keep coming back to our web pages at http://harvest-trust.org. We will keep it updated, adding information, documenting, and sourcing our position within the law, and there's enough there to keep you busy for 2 weeks, should you care to go look. And the corrupted Illuminati puppets' despotic and tyrannical disregard and contempt for the law.
It's all documented. And who knows, ladies and gentlemen? You might even find some guts. You might become awakened. And you might join the fight for liberty and freedom for all people, regardless of race, religion, or place of ancestral origin, whether you join that fight here, or join it on your own doorstep, or join it somewhere else. It does not matter. You must make a choice between good or evil, between freedom and enslavement, and you must, sooner or later, take a stand. If you don't, then you've got no business opening your mouth complaining about anything whatsoever because of it. To God, we commend our service and our souls through Jesus, the one and only true Christ, that God may use us for His true and benevolent cause of liberty, freedom, and justice for all people, regardless of race, religion, or place of ancestral origin. You see, we take Jesus' admonition to love thy neighbor and to do unto others as you would have others do unto you as the very first and foremost guiding principles of our lives. We believe that all people are free to do as they choose as long as they never injure the person or property of any other human. We oppose all forms of evil, despotism, and tyranny. You see, folks, unlike most of you, we will never, ever choose the lesser of two evils. Evil, whether lesser or greater, is always evil. It's a deal with the devil, and we do not deal with the devil. We believe that people must be free to choose their beliefs and actions. We believe that we must oppose those who choose evil or to do evil things, but that the final judgment of their choice is not ours, but God's alone. Through Jesus we pray, and in God we trust. I suggest you sit down and get a handle on your own spiritual beliefs and find out who and what you are, what you believe in, and what's worth fighting for, if anything. And I'm not just speaking for myself. I'm speaking for my wife Annie, my daughter Dorothy, and my little baby daughter Allison. You may wonder, what's a citizen of Taiwan, my wife, Annie, doing fighting this battle? Well, folks, if you knew the history of Taiwan and the Chinese people who fought to be free, who fought against the communists, who fought against Mao Zedong, you wouldn't have to answer that question. Annie's family is a family of warriors who have fought for freedom for the Chinese people all the way back through the history that they are able to trace their ancestry. Annie's father was a general under General Chiang Kai-shek, who fought for free China. And in his last position was the head of the intelligence service for the army of the Taiwanese people. Annie knows what enslavement is. She knows what communism is. She knows what socialism is. She knows what it takes to fight it and beat it. And I love her with all my heart and soul. And I can't help but think, if I look around and look at all the other women that are out there, Annie doesn't have a credit card, and she's not slobbering over malls. I just wonder how long an American woman would have stood by my side. You see, they're so spoiled, so afraid of losing everything, so desperately seeking after security and material things, that I think it'd be pretty damn hard to find an American woman that would stand by me. But Annie's been all through this before. Her family has lived it. She knows it. She understands it. She came to this country to get away from the threat of communism and the threat of invasion. And when she got here, she found out that the same thing was happening here all over again. That's why she fights for freedom. That's why she stands by my side. It's not just because she loves me, ladies and gentlemen. It's a lot more than that. Annie is a deeply caring, wonderful wife and mother. Sometimes it hurts me deeply
knowing that she is fighting for all of your freedom, and sometimes she's discriminated against right here in the Round Valley by some stupid, simpering clerk at the Safeway store because she's Chinese. Someday it's going to happen in front of me, and I'm going to knock somebody's lights out. Right in front of everybody, wherever it happens. Now, I'm going to give you a fair warning. If you live in the Round Valley, there's going to be people coming in to help us, all militia members from various parts of the United States, members of different state militias, and members of the Second Continental Army of the Republic Militia, which is the militia of the United States of America. We are legally constituted. We lawfully exist. It is all documented on our website, should you doubt it. The militia is not a bunch of wacko extremists. The militia can be found in the law and in the history of this country. And in all of the writings and the speeches and the debates of the Founding Fathers. The Constitution for the United States of America recognizes the militia as a pre-existing force, which it can call up in service of the nation to do only three things and nothing else: to enforce the laws of the Union, repel invasion, and suppress insurrection. Well, right now, ladies and gentlemen, the laws of the Union are being ignored. And there is insurrection taking place within our government. And we, the lawful militia, will resist it. We will stand. We will fight. We will raise whatever army is necessary, and we will restore, ultimately, constitutional republican government to the United States of America and to the citizens of the several states. I advise you to either get on our side or get the hell out of the way. I don't really care which. I hope it's on our side. If you don't think I'm serious, stick around. You're in for a rough ride. And it's not just here, ladies and gentlemen. People are beginning to take stands all across this country, everywhere. You would not believe the number of offers we have had of help from individual people who are part of no militias to active duty servicemen who are currently on active duty within the armed forces of the United States, to people who are parts and parcels, and in some cases entire state militias of all races, of all religions, all of them understanding the one great principle which binds us together. That if you're not ready and willing to oppose evil, to oppose despotism and tyranny, if you are not ready and willing to die for freedom, you cannot be free, and despotism and tyranny will rule you and will enslave you, and the human race will go backwards in its evolution instead of forward, as it has been doing, which began, by the way, with the formation by our founding fathers of this great nation, the United States of America. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. And may God save this republic.
to your beauty with a burning violin. Dance me through the panic till I'm gathered safely. Lift me like an olive branch, be my homeward dove. I'm dancing to the end of love. You're dancing to the end of love. Let me see your beauty when the witnesses are gone. Let me feel your moving like they do in Babylon. Show me slowly what I only know, the limits of. And dance me to the end of love. Dance me to the end of love. Raise a tent of shelter now, with a well-prepared home.